Well, I'm going to share a little bit before we actually go into meditation. And the reason being I wanted to share a little bit first is that one of the things I became very aware of last week, and even before we left to our five-week trip to Fort Wayne and Kalamazoo, I'd shared a little bit about just beginning to sometimes do some things different in our lives so that we begin to break any habits so that, because when we get habitual in our ways, sometimes we can go a little unconscious. And even though we're doing things that work for us at the time where we develop the habit, over time, those habits then just can become automatic, where at some point they may no longer work for us truly in our awakening spiritually. But if we're not conscious to that, that in a sense we can keep doing the habit, and then it allows us to stay just kind of, I don't want to say stuck, but in a sense it becomes stagnant inside of ourselves. And so in sharing a few weeks ago about even like, you know, if you pay attention, like even when you put your pants on, you usually automatically do one leg before the other, and it's like switch the leg. Even simple little funny experiences like that, just beginning to do things even differently physically sometimes can begin to stir us to pay more attention so that we become more conscious of what we're doing. You know, as Jim is always sharing, to take responsibilities for our thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions. So when you begin to experiment or play little games like this with yourself, you'll begin to create a little shift in yourself where it's kind of a newer experience, no matter how small or simple it is. And so last week in class, I was aware of, hey, even in class, we've gotten so used to coming in here, we do some announcements, we go into meditation, we do a sharing. And even though Spirit's present during all that, that even sometimes just the order of things can sometimes become habitual, where we get so, in a sense, into that, that over time it can be a tradition, and that's how rituals can come about. And it's not against that, it's just that sometimes that when we just get so in a mode that we can allow ourselves to become a little more unconscious to the actions of what we're taking. And so this week I thought I'd mix it up a little bit and talk a little bit first and then do the meditation later, just to, in a sense, have a different experience of that flow. Because remember, this pathway really is about becoming more consciously aware, about awakening. And in order to awaken spiritually, sometimes we also need to awaken to those things we're doing inside mentally, emotionally, imaginatively, and even physically, what we're doing. Because as we pay attention to that is how we become conscious of it. And in that is where we begin to learn and grow. If we do things unconsciously or habitually, we may not really, in a sense, be growing and learning and awakening as we're walking through our journey of life. So this is a way to kind of mix things up a little bit, because when we do, a part of our consciousness goes, hey, this is different, and it gets our attention. That's the idea here, to get our attention, because in giving our attention is where we begin to wake up and come to the greater understanding of those things that we do, not only outside of ourselves, but really within. Because even different physical experiences are going to stir things up inwardly for ourselves, mentally, emotionally, in our imagination. And I didn't include spiritually in that, because spiritually it's always the same. The spirit of who we are is always the same and loving. But that spirit is here to journey an experience through the mind, the emotions, through the imagination and the body. And it's that experience that as we take new actions and have new experience that we, in a spiritual sense, continue our process of expanding and growing spiritually, of having more experience. Does that make sense? So sometimes just switching things up a little bit is all we might need to all of a sudden open or move something within ourselves by which we can allow a new experience to awaken within us. That even that thing we're doing habitually may be something that in a sense has come between us and God that doesn't allow us to have that greater awakening or knowing of the Spirit within. So by doing it differently, by taking different actions, by experimenting or playing, because this can be a fun game, not something like, well, I've got to make a major change in my life and it's going to be all this drama. but literally a fun little game to try something different just to see what the experience is like. Sometimes I remember when I used to come to class, I would try sitting in different sections of the classroom just to have a different perspective of how did that feel? What did it look like? What was my experience by sitting somewhere else, up front, in the back, on this side, on that side, laying down in the back, skipping class, coming to class? All those different things just to see what went on inside of me. And then it truly becomes a game. And so as I did that in here, then I began to take that out into the world and to see how could I do things differently in my life in a fun way so that I could continue to stay fresh and alive and continue my own process of growing so that through all of my experiences that I truly am learning and growing and expanding in my own awareness and not becoming stagnant, whether it's just through a habitual response or whether it's through a traditional response or whether this is the way you're supposed to do it, right? So don't go off that track. But I found sometimes I would play and say, you know what? I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to do something different than what you're supposed to do to see what that feels like, to see what goes on inside of me. And sometimes I would do it for fun to see what other people would do and how they would respond, because I like to have a little fun with that too. But not in a way that is an againstness or striking out, but in a way that is for me to have new experience, to continue my awakening of learning and growing. And so I'd have fun and make it a game, just like today, doing this first instead of meditating first. This is me now getting to play once again, because last week I was so aware, just came in. I mean, I was in the habit. I come in, sit down, do the announcements, meditate, share. It's like, my God, I've just, every single week, for how many years have we been doing this now? Almost 11. So, you know, I mean, look at what a shift it was just moving from Tuesday nights to Sunday. You know, so now it's like there's a structure in class. So I said, hey, let's play a little bit here and have a different experience even while we're in class to see what that's like. And I like it. It's fun to play that way. And I wouldn't do it unless I was aware of that divine presence in the moment and to follow that. So this isn't me out of my ego wanting to do this. This is me out of the spiritual awakening of being aware of sometimes when there's those patterns or habits by which we just get so used to doing, we can even run unconsciously, that it can actually begin to get in the way of our continual expansion and growing. And so I know, well, then it's all a freedom of choice. It's up to me or any of us to choose into something new, to something different, to try to move things around so that we for ourselves can continue our own, I was going to say evolution, but really it's more of our own awakening. And there is that evolutionary process by which even the physical continues to evolve in its own journey as well. But it really is about the soul's journey through it all. The soul is always looking for experience because it is through that experience that it comes to the greater fullness and the knowing of itself through all the experiences of all of God's creations. And since we're here in this creation of time and space, well, then let's have the fullness of it. But I'll tell you what, if we can do it from the perspective of living the loving of who we are, then our experiences, even in time and space, can be more enlightening, more enjoyable, more of an adventure rather than the drama, the hell, the suffering. Because see, those elements of the drama, the hell, and the suffering are the elements of the mind, the emotions, imagination, and body. Those are not of the soul. But if we can continue to look to the soul and flow with that is we walk through the valley of shadows that this world is often called, that it won't matter because we will be living in the soul consciousness of who we are, which is loving, which is joy, which is the childlike nature, the innocence, the curiosity, and the adventurer. We who are the journeyer, through this realm of time and space. So look at, is it truly as an adventure and a journey of who you are as that divine spark? And begin to find new ways of doing, to have a little more fun, to experiment, to play a game. But to play the game in awareness and why you're playing the game. Because it's in your awareness in playing that, when you have more direction and intention of why you're doing what you're doing, then it's going to serve you for that greater purpose, for your greater awakening. So do it with intention. Do it with focus. Do it with purpose. But do it with lightness and joy and understanding of why you're choosing to do what you do. And I'll tell you what, life can get pretty interesting, even physically, let alone mentally, emotionally, and then also spiritually. Because I found that when I, out of my own freedom of choice, made new choices to have new experiences, that in that, that I actually did experience these things that were in the way of my own knowing of myself as soul, my greater oneness with God, that in those new choices and doing different, it truly did begin to open doors within my consciousness that allowed me to yet go into greater experience spiritually. It's when I was unwilling and stuck, stubborn or scared, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was out of my own conscious resistance or if I was just scared to. What if? The fears, the judgments, the expectations around that, didn't matter. It was still in the way of my greater awakening. So when I consciously made the choice to do things differently, no matter how small or how big, I'll admit it was the bigger ones where I had more of a dramatic opening and awakening that made all the difference in my life personally. And those changes that occurred, I'll tell you what, they were not that comfortable for quite some time. But in that uncomfortableness, I even found ways by which I could make it lighter, have a little humor, play a little bit through the discomfort so that it wasn't so hard and that I didn't take it so seriously, even though I was, but finding ways that I could lighten it up within myself and always reminding myself it really is about the inner journey of awakening, not about what the world thinks, not about even what I think or believe or the way it should be or shouldn't be, but just to have the experience of something new and different so that I did not even allow that which I had gotten so used to doing in my own habits to keep me, in a sense, asleep, hindered, lack of awakefulness. So in those action steps, even physically, it began to create a shift mentally and emotionally. And then certain things, I could tell from a higher perspective that this is really assisting me to get freer and freer. Even though I didn't know, I just had a general feeling, you know, like an intuition. Okay, this sure doesn't seem like the right way to go, but yet I'm going this way. And yet there's a part of me that's curious what really is on the other side of this experience. And in order to do that, I realized I had to surrender and let go of my own fears, my own expectations. That was a big one for me, was my own expectations. To let go of all those things so that I could truly move into a place of vulnerability and surrender by which I could allow that expansion and opening within me to take place so I could have the newer, greater experience. And my God, it worked. And it continues to work to this day. That as I allow myself to move into new experiences, that I keep awakening to yet greater experience spiritually, let alone how much nicer it is to live that fuller spirit of who I am through the mind, the emotions, and body. That's, to me, one of the wonderful side effects, if you will, or benefits of doing these things so that you do awaken more to the spirit of who you are. Because when you awaken more to that, then that is who you are that lives right here, so that through all of your experiences, no matter what level, it's going to be smoother, easier, more filled with that loving and joy, less of the stagnation, less of feeling stuck, less of feeling like you don't know what to do, but where you really begin to know the greater truth of who you are. And in that, there's a much greater trust in yourself. And in that trust, you'll be able to tell the difference that no matter what situation you find yourself in, physically, mentally, or emotionally, or imaginatively, you'll really know it's all right. When you and yourself know it's all right, it really is okay no matter what I'm experiencing, in that level of acceptance, there's a great freedom. And that great freedom is the neutrality of spirit, is really coming to know yourself more fully as that divine child of God. So look for that. I know how easy it is to get caught up in our own mind, emotions, and body, in those choices of what should we do with our lives, what actions physically, what's the best thing to do. But I found when I just let that go and said, let me just awaken to the spirit of who I am, when I focused on that, I found the physical just sorted out. It all just came into alignment, because in living that inner light, the light in a sense showed me the way. But the way was not in the world, not in my physical actions, but the way was inside, the way to greater awakening. And then from that place, then my actions in the world were more aligned with that inner spirit of who I am. So then my physical actions, no matter what they were more loving, were more peaceful, were more enjoyable, not only for myself, but even for the people around me. It was wonderful, the feedback I was even hearing from people around me. When you really live that, you'll hear people around you thanking you, saying how much they like you or love you, and they enjoy being with you, because that's the nature of the soul. It is that joy and loving and liking. It's nice to like yourself and to like others. And that happens the more and more you live that divine spark that you are. So find ways in your own life to begin to create, even if it's a little change, to find a way to have fun, to do things differently, so that you in your own life keep the spirit within you fresh and alive, always in the moment, always in the now, experiencing the divine. And if you feel stuck or trapped, always go first inside, chant the names of God, work with loving acceptance, forgiveness. But when even that doesn't seem to move, whatever that is, where we feel trapped or stuck inside, get up physically. Do something different physically. Maybe sometimes just physically taking different actions will get you out of that mold, that habitualized pattern that you may have been running in your life for who knows how long. And in that is where you'll begin to discover more of living in the moment, that greater freshness of the aliveness of the now, because that's truly where spirit is only in the now. So if you're feeling stuck, caught up, know that you're not really living in the now, that somewhere in the mind, the emotions, imagination, or even in the body consciousness, there's something in the way that just, in a sense, is not moving. And it's up to you to move it. It's up to you to move it, to take responsibility, just out of your choices. It's up to you what the choices are. It's up to you to discover for yourself what you can do in your own life to have those new experiences, to make those different choices. Even if it's in the silly little things of putting the other leg in the pant first, or whatever it may be, if you drive to work every day, take a different route. Come home a different route. do something different. Find a way to mix it up a little. One of the things that I used to do a lot, and now just once in a while, is I used to go on drives. I used to call it my moving meditation, where I'd literally just get in the car and go for a drive. No destination in mind. I'd just go for a drive. And when I drove, I would go inside and say, okay, Lord, you're driving. God's driving. And then I would just keep paying attention to however that movement of the divine inside of me moved. And I would find myself turning down whatever roads, discovering new places I've never been to, just following that energy, like turn here, go straight, back up, do whatever, that I would find myself in new areas. And then it was so funny, because when I'd find myself in a new area, inside of me, it would be different. This is a new experience. This is something new I have not yet experienced. And I could feel that freshness or aliveness of that newness inside of me just by the different physical surroundings. And so I found that a wonderful way to support myself, to do something different, to have different experience. And even find, I might, you know, if I did it for several hours, it's like, okay, it's time to eat now too. I'd drive around and all of a sudden here's a new restaurant. Or in that there's a new experience. Or might run into different people or whatever. And I'd find myself in these wonderful experiences within just by allowing myself to have different experience out here. So I hope you hear what I'm saying, that the focus is always within, always the inner experience, not out here. But by allowing myself to move around and have different experiences out here, I was paying attention to what was my inner experience. So find ways to have new inner experience. Because when you have new experience, that'll be your signpost. You are not stuck. You are not stagnant. You are not trapped and bound by time and space. But you've got to allow yourself to have that experience. You bring it about by those choices that you choose to make, that you choose to participate in. You know, we hear this thing, make your choices wisely. But how do you even know what's a wise choice? Sometimes to discover the wisdom of our choices, we've also got to allow ourselves to have the freedom of messing up, of making the mistakes, making the errors, screwing things up royally, allowing ourselves the freedom to do that. When you allow yourself the freedom to do that, that's when you're really going to find the greater freedom inside. Because that is a state of non-judgment, of neutrality. And you'll even begin to be able to laugh at yourself. Because you'll know in the screwing up, it's all just a game. And then it actually becomes fun. Then you might even look for ways to screw things up because of how much fun it is. But when you do it that way, you do it with consciousness, with awareness, because you know it's all a game. And you know that truly, in trying to screw it up, you within yourself are just choosing into new experiences by trying to create a different flow, to have different experience, so that you can continue your own process of greater freedom, of greater awakening. So understand that. In truth, you can't screw anything up. Go ahead and try to. It may feel or look or sound like it. But in truth, the day you wake up fully, you'll realize that you never did and you never could. It was all part of the game. It was all part of the game. Just like Shakespeare talking about we're all actors upon the stage of life. What would it be like to experience being every single one of those actors in the comedies and the dramas, on the good side and the bad side? Because in truth, that's what we do as soul in this journey in this world, is experience all of that. We just have forgotten. But if you could even within your own imagination begin to look at that, to see, to experience, being the actor of all in all the different roles, and realizing at the end of the play, the actors all go home. They were just acting. It wasn't real. It wasn't true life. It was just all a play. Now, wouldn't it be fun to live our physical, true life as a play? That it's just all fun, and you're in your role in acting out your part. And when you get tired of your part, well, and say, hey, I want a different role. Let me be one of the other actors on the stage. But then it's up to you to take the initiative and to create the change so that you can have that different experience of the new role. But realize why you're doing it, that you're looking for new experience. Because truly within you, you know having the new experience is going to bring you into the greater fullness and knowing of yourself as the actor, the divine soul that has come in to play the different roles in this world. And it's through having all those different experiences through all the different roles upon the stage that we come to the greater understanding, that we see the complete picture. Every piece of the puzzle is in place. We're made whole. No longer are we lacking or empty, but we have put all the pieces together. But it was by only going through each of those experiences and all the different roles that the fullness, that all the pieces come together. And once we put that last piece in, we then are done, complete. And we begin to lift up and see the whole picture, the whole puzzle, in the picture that it has completed, and see all of it for what it is. We rise above it, just like a puzzle that you may do on your own. And you don't know at first, you dump all the pieces on the table, it's a big mess, but then you get busy sorting things out. And eventually, piece by piece, you see how it fits and you put it in and it all comes together. But even to do that, you're up above it. Can you do the puzzle if you're under the table and you can't see anything? Can you even do it if you're eye level? No, you may be able to see a few pieces in front of you at the eye level, but you don't see what's behind it. Well, when you start to come above it, you get to see all the pieces on the table. And then you can begin to see, you have the knowing, to begin to see how to put the pieces together to make the puzzle complete. And then when it's complete, isn't it interesting how we feel inside, what goes on inside? It's done. You go, now what? And then you get bored and go look for something else. But let me back up. When the puzzle's done, there's a sense of fulfillment, of completion, of an acknowledgement and gratitude. You've accomplished something. You've learned something. Why do we even do puzzles? There's a part of us that loves the mystery, the curiosity, the experiences, the learning, and wanting to see what it looks like when it's complete. Such is the journey of life. We as soul are just putting together the pieces, the natural childlike curiosity, wanting to learn, to have the experience because it's so much fun. So in that fun, we lighten up. And in the lightening up, we just lift up. The soul's expression is upliftment. It naturally rises as we, in a sense, put each piece into its place. And when it's done, we'll see the whole picture and we'll have joy and gratitude for all of it. And then we turn from the picture of this life, and once again in that gratitude turn back to the source, to once again now journey home, to come home, back to the realms of spirit, back to soul. Just like if you had a huge puzzle, say one of 1,000 pieces or more, it gets a little tiring after a while, especially if you have a challenging one. That's part of the journey too. We just get a little tired sometimes of trying to figure out the puzzle. But eventually, in that process, we just surrender and just kind of give it up. And we may get a little rest, replenished and renewed. And then we come back to it and just continue doing it until it's done. Because that part within us, it just has to. It's too curious. It wants to know the mystery, to answer, to fulfill the mystery so that it fully understands. And then when we come home, there is truly that sense of fulfillment and gratitude, the acknowledgement of the adventure, of the fulfillment of the adventure. And then we're happy to be home in a lot of ways. Happy we had the experience and happy to be home because we're a little tired of the whole process. It's all of that. It's not one or the other. It's all of it. So let it be all of it. Make it easier on yourself, because it really can be. And then when you turn and face the Father, all that tiredness just drops away. Because then all you know is the fullness of God's loving and the gratitude for returning home.
So what's next?
Do you want to share or meditate?
I'll share and we'll meditate at the end. Just something totally different. It's interesting because in listening to Brian's talk, it brought back a lot of memories from years ago for me that I just totally had forgotten about. But yet, as he was sharing, it made a lot of sense for me. When he was talking about how this is really a play, we're all on a stage, and we're all actors in it, it brought up a memory of something I learned years ago. I loved mystery shows on TV, and I loved the show Mannix. I don't know if any of you ever watched it, but I used to love to watch that. And one night I had a dream, and it was I was watching this whole TV show of Mannix in my dream. And I woke up and I wrote it down thinking that there was some symbology to it, but when I realized after looking at it for a while, it was nothing for me. It was just like a storyline of a show. So I wrote it all out again in more legible handwriting, because when I often write my dreams down, I'd just scribble because I could make out pretty much what I was saying. And I found out how I actually sent the thing to the TV station in San Antonio and asked them if they would pass it on, and they did. And weeks later, my mother, as I got home, my mother called, because I used to go to school, come home, and then mom would come home later in the day when she got off work. She called me and she said, you've got a letter in the mail yesterday, and I didn't read it till late last night, and I'd like to talk to you about it. And I went, okay. So she said, do you know anybody out in California? You know, and I said, well, my aunt and uncle. And she said, well, beyond them. And I said, no. She said, well, you've been invited to come out there to attend a filming of a show. And I went, what? Well, I thought maybe it was due to my uncle, because my uncle was an editor for Republic Studios back then. So I thought maybe somehow he made arrangements for it. But it turned out that script got into somebody's hands, and they took it and rewrote it into a script form, and they invited me to come out and witness it being filmed, and let me meet different people and so on. So I got to fly out to my uncle, who worked for Republic Studios, picked me up and took me over to where they were going to be filming, introduced me, and the next day I got to go for the filming of it. And so as we there was filming this show. It was like very strange because I was actually watching my dream. They had changed a little bit, but I was watching my dream kind of unfold in front of me physically, which I'd never witnessed quite so dramatic in my life. And they got to this one part, and this woman was saying her lines, and she just kept messing them up. And, you know, reshoot, reshoot, reshoot. And finally she says, "I can't do it this way. We've got to have a rewrite." And they called the writers in, and they went over it, and she wanted to say it a certain way that lined up more for her. And then they said, no, if we say it that way, then you change the whole script. Because of the way you're saying it, it changes the whole flow of how things are going to be perceived and taken later on. And they said, let us work on it, and, you know, we'll see what we can do and get you a script tonight. So they called it a day, went off, and the next day we came back, and they'd actually taken her line that she liked and they didn't like and reworked it and actually changed the flow of the story a little bit and came up with, a much better ending because of it. And as I was praying that night, because I didn't meditate at that time yet, as I was praying that night, I heard her say in my mind, rewrite, I need a rewrite. And Spirit said, wouldn't it be nice if you could, at school, at home, whatever in your life, where you don't like the way it's going, you know, put your hand up and say, I need a rewrite. Anybody want a rewrite? And I thought, boy, that would be interesting to be able to say rewrite and have somebody come in and just change the lines a little bit, and it changes the course of how our life moves. And so I remember how over the next few days in my dreams and in my prayers, teachers would be coming to me and sharing with me different things and showing me how truly, just like I saw in the script, how just changing a few words, I mean just a few words in one sentence, change the whole course of somebody, of the script and the way it unfolded. So it could be that just a few words changed in our script of how we live our life could change the whole course of how our life moves. And they said, so do you get what we're saying here? And I said, well, so how do I get a rewrite? And they said, you have to rewrite it. You're the one who wrote the script, and you're the one who has to change it. There's nobody out in the world that's written the script and given it to you and that you've studied and now you're living it. You wrote the script and you are just living what you have written. If you want it changed, you've got to do the rewrite yourself. And it's so simple, just like they did in the play, in the movie. All you have to do is change a few words. Change a few words, changes an attitude, changes an approach, and brings about a change in the way your life is going to move. And so it's important for you to begin to look and realize that you can rewrite your life. You can make changes in your life very easily. But he also said this. He said, it's easy to get a rewrite. It's easy for you to, in a moment, decide to say something different. And the key is not just to say it different once, but rather to say it, to think it, to move with it as much as you can every day in this new way, so that you begin to live in this new flow. Where in the script, it unfolded for them after the rewrite was done in a new way, and all they had to do was follow that script. Life is a little bit different, because we do not see the script in front of us as easily as they saw the script in front of them. And we do not see the dynamic change that just a change of a few words can make to the flow of our lives. And it's easy for us because of that to just slip into old patterns. And yes, we may say it in this moment differently now, because now consciously we're focused on making a change, rewrite. Change a few words, change an attitude, change the course of our life. And it does that for that moment. But an hour later, we start saying it in the old pattern because we're habitual, and we will do just that. So it's a matter of paying attention and do a rewrite every time that line shows up, every time that attitude comes forward. It's rewrite, 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 so that we can begin to live life differently. And it can be as simple as changing 1, 2, 5 words in how we are living our lives. That can make all the difference. And as I was listening to Brian talk, then I remembered when I was in 8th grade, I had this one teacher at junior high school that was teaching science. And he had been a professor at a university and retired and got bored, so he decided to teach, but he didn't want to go back to university. So he took a job as a teacher at this junior high school. And I got the good fortune of getting him. Though at the first moment I met him and heard him talk, I didn't know if it was going to be good fortune. Because he said, okay, you all want to make A's in here, I know it. And nobody in here is going to make an A. Not if you do the course the way it's presented. You'll make a B, but that's the highest grade you're going to get. If you want to make an A, you've got to do extracurricular activity for me. You've got to do extra work and demonstrate to me that you are studying, that you are learning science the way that I would want you to learn it. That's the only way you're going to get an A. Well, I didn't like that. He was saying I had to do more work. You know, I'll do the work. You give me the homework and I'll do it, but I don't want to do more. You know, give me the A for the work I do. Don't make me do more work to get an A. But somehow he instilled something in me to start doing that. And I like that. Well, one thing that he also shared that really stuck with me, because the science programs, I mean the space programs were on very heavy back in the 60s and 70s, and there was a lot of discussion in the science classes and all. And he said, do you know, they were going to do a Martian launch. And he said, do you know that why they have to do a launch at a particular time, at a particular day,